Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You are listening to me, Bibi Aisha Lahe, on Youth Talk on Radio Islam International, Medium Wave 154, DSTV 826, and also simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. A very interesting topic that we'll be discussing today, a harsh reality. Sometimes it's a topic that we want to brush aside and hope it wasn't there, but unfortunately it's just going to be escalating. My question to my beloved listeners today is that when we're faced with problems in our lives, which is what life is all about, you know, we gain closeness to Allah through the challenges that we are faced with. But how do we deal with those problems? Do we have sabr? Do we make zikr? Do we make tilawat of the Quran? Do we do good deeds? We turn to Allah for assistance? That would be what we would, the ideal method of gaining closeness to Allah and overcoming our obstacles. But unfortunately, when our nafs dominate, then that's where the problem lies. And sadly, our youth today do not know how to face the challenges that they are dealing with. They do not know how to cope. And they are using ways of numbing their pain and their issues. And these ways are exactly the problem that we're going to be discussing today. Drug awareness, substance abuse. In Indonesia, with the amount of problems that are going on with relating to substance abuse, the Jamiatul Ulama in Indonesia, in conjunction with the Islamic Helpline in Indonesia, have joined partnership to open up a ladies' wellness facility. This facility is aiming to provide support to female substance abuse addicts and their family, and they are going to be talking to us today. So, alhamdulillah, in studio, I have with me Sister Rihanna Vauda, who is the coordinator of the Islamic Helpline in Indonesia, Sister Farzana Debelia, who is a counselor at the Islamic Helpline and facilitator of the Drug Support Group in conjunction with the Crescent of Hope Wellness Center in Magaliesburg, Sister Nabila Mahdi, who is an adolescent drug therapist at Islamic Helpline. Joining us telephonically is Brother Ahmed Hassam, who is the facilitator of the aftercare support group held once a week at Islamic Helpline. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all my guests in studio and to Brother Ahmed. The opening of a female substance abuse support center, that's what we're going to say. I know it's wellness center is the word we're going with, but we have to face the harsh reality. Sister Rihanna Vauda, why the need for such a center in Indonesia? Has it become that bad?
Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners and to you, Bibi Aisha.
Walaikum assalam.
The Utba Wellness Center, which is a long time going, I think for over now 10 years, you know, a lot of organizations came to us and said, don't you want to open up a female's rehabilitation center? And we just felt at that time it was too much for us to handle.
Mm-hmm.
But in the year 2017, we had an influx of cases with mainly teenage girls, you know, coming from dysfunctional homes, broken homes, girls losing themselves, having no hope. And there was just no motivation in their lives for them.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt we needed to do something for them. Doing counseling is one thing, but also we needed to integrate them into society, and we needed to help them, to motivate them to move forward in life, that there's some hope. Mm-hmm. There's a dream for them out there. And that is when, alhamdulillah, we were offered this home, and with the Jamiat, we decided to open up an outpatient clinic. It's different from other rehabilitation centers.
Mm-hmm.
It would be functioning on a daily basis from 9:30 to about 4 o'clock, from Monday to Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And this is even for mothers that are usually, you know, unfortunately, you know, we can't say that women are not using drugs.
Yes.
Whether it's over-the-counter drugs, whether it's painkillers, a lot of women are taking drugs for losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some kind of addiction mm-hmm. in every form.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of a center would sort of accommodate women, mothers, also if they've got responsibilities with their children, you know, responsibilities at home.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a center where they would be able to come in and do the program.
Gee. Now, Sister Rihanna, we were speaking earlier, you know, we were talking about, you know, the increase of female users when it comes to substance abuse. If you don't mind sharing with us, obviously with all confidentiality, but just the age of the youngest patient that you have counseled who has been a substance abuse addict?
Well, I can say the youngest was a male.
Okay.
He was 8 years old. And he was a dealer as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as females, you know, Fazana would be able to help you and Nabila, but the age that we usually find among females is from 12, 13 years upwards.
So the adolescent period. So that's a shocking reality. I think also the message that, you know, we want to get, I'm sure that you would like to get out, you know, to the listeners is that, you know, the drug problem is not going away. But what are we going to do about it?
Definitely. And, you know, with children being in school, with peer pressure, being part of a gang, being part of some kind of acceptance in society, this is what girls are all about. You know, that's why you find the cyberbullying. We find, you know, girls being bullied into doing scores, into doing certain things, being accepted. And you find that a lot of these girls also getting involved with older males who can control and be father figures to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to numb this dysfunctionality from the background is doing things where they can be integrated with that kind of a society.
So they're getting turned into substance abuse to numb the pain. So Sefiana, what makes the center different from other centers?
Well, it will be working on a day-to-day basis. They won't be staying in.
Mm-hmm.
And Fazana will elaborate a little bit more on the program as well.
Okay.
It's also where if the patient comes in for that day, maybe wanting to just come and talk and maybe get some direction, they would be able to do that where they don't have to stay in. But more, this would be a 6 weeks program for them, where they come in and it will holistically cover every aspect of their life. When the girls go back out into society, we want to prepare them and be ready to be able to, you know, to move forward and to have a future.
Okay, inshallah. Sister Fazana, I was just going to ask you, you know, Sister Rehana mentioned that it's an outpatient facility. So the therapy would be basically, the counseling offered would be between Monday and Friday.
Assalamu alaikum to all our listeners.
Waalaikum
assalam. So the program will be a holistic program.
Mm-hmm.
It will cover every aspect, but our main aspect would be spirituality.
Okay.
Then it would be mental health, emotional, physical, you know, all those challenges that women face. You know, we found with counseling females, it's much more challenging and requires much more intense counseling and therapy because they are more vulnerable to relapse.
Yes. Now, that brings me to my question. Say for the first week or two when you have a patient that is at your facility, Monday to Friday, and Saturday night, or could be, say, Sunday morning, they're having this outburst or they're having these horrific symptoms. What do they do?
Okay, we will be training the parents as well and giving them some information on how to deal with the kids and or how to deal with the person in their home that's going through it. We will also try and be available for them, but yes, we will be educating the caregivers as well.
I would think so, because especially in the early stages of their treatment, it can be very difficult.
Gee, the detoxing stage is very, very difficult. But unfortunately, like we said, we can't keep them in because a lot of them have responsibilities.
Yes,
so we're going to have to train their caregivers to take up that role, you know, and to also learn a bit more about rehabilitating and helping them.
Yes. Okay, now you can please explain to us your method of therapy or with the detox as well as with the counseling that will be offered at this facility, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah, we will be using the 12-step program, which is worldly recognized. And then, obviously, Islam and spirituality plays a very, very vital part in that, and a lot of the girls have lost that. So we'll be using that. We'll be doing intense counseling, one-on-one sessions. We'll be doing emotional healing. We'll be doing some physical exercise as well, just to get the girls going. And inshallah, we'll see. We'll take it from there and see what works.
After the 6 weeks program, how often would the patients need to come and visit just to see if, you know, the recovery process is successful, the emotional and mental state is where it should be?
Inshallah, we'll be having them in about maybe twice a week just to see where they are and just to do one-on-one sessions for the first maybe 3 months, and then after that maybe once a week.
Inshallah, inshallah. I mean, yes,
please. I think the aftercare is more important than just the program itself.
Yes.
Because once you put them back into society, there's going to be a lot of challenges.
Mm.
And that is the time when they test it mostly.
Yes.
So, you know, the aftercare for them to come in, like Fazana said, twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
That is where they would need us more than anything
Most
else.
Most definitely.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I think for that period where they're doing the detox, it's mm-hmm. sort of a haven where they are in.
Yes.
Trying to come to terms with what is going on. But
yes.
Like you say, you know, whatever they're going to learn from you is going to have to be put into practice
yes.
later.
Yes, and challenges are going to come forth for them, you know. And this
yes.
is where, like we say, aftercare is very, very important for all programs.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to, you know, drug addiction, it does not obviously only affect the addict. It has a ripple effect on the family, on the support group, on the loved ones. What is your advice for family members? What programs do you offer to offer relief and comfort for family members, because it can be very stressful?
Okay, we run the support group, right? It's every Tuesday night at the Islamic Helpline. So what we do is we have our recovering addicts and we have our support structure that will be parents, wives, whatever. So we help them there with weekly with whatever challenges they are facing
mm-hmm.
and whatever questions they have. And we do have a WhatsApp group as well. So if there's any problems during the week, they can contact us.
Yes.
Or, yeah, we would go and see them at home or whatever the case may be.
Okay, so there is the support there all the time.
There is, yeah.
For the whole family. Okay, we have yeah. Brother Ahmed on with us as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ahmed.
Wa alaikum salam, how are you, sister?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Shukran, alhamdulillah.
Okay, Ahmed, I need to ask you, you know, you've been counseling and offering an aftercare support group in conjunction with Islamic Helpline for a very long time now. What are the substances that are commonly abused by our youth today? I would say today, because there's so many available.
Okay, sister, if we're talking about today,
yes,
then the common drug at the moment is crystal meth.
Mm-hmm.
So crystal meth is being widely used by our youth, and not only our youth, ex-drug addicts that has been using other substances has turned to crystal meth.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with crystal meth at the moment is that after 3 to 6 months of usage, the guys are losing their minds, you know.
I can imagine, and I know the violent outbursts as well.
Yes, because the crystal meth is making them in a state of euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, there's never too much of it. You know, they need it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, with crystal meth comes a lot of other things. It's like stealing, manipulating, going to the extreme to get the funds. Or to get their hands on this particular drug.
Now, Ahmed, I was going to ask you, you know, that would be my next question. You know, for parents who are seeing this aggressive behavior among their children, and they can notice, you know, this change in the way they normally do things, and what are the signs that they need to look out for aside from the physical signs? Like you said, you know, for children, or at least the youth, when they have this need to have the substance, they want the funds no matter what. So parents should be aware, you know, look, see that, you know, take stock of the things that you have at home. If things are going missing, start digging deeper and find out what's going on. Where are the children getting the money for all of this?
Yes, correct, 100%. You know, the thing is, with crystal meth, and not only with crystal meth, it's, mm-hmm. you know, with cocaine in cat,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's been used by our youth as well. The thing is, you know, the parents have these old thoughts of looking at the child's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That if a guy's eyes are red, then he's on something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with these drugs do not make your eyes red. Basically, they make your eyes very, very shiny. You know, it has like a marble effect on the eyes.
Yes.
Something else to look out for is the lack of eating. You know, isolation.
Mm-hmm.
A child will isolate himself from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mood swings. You know, there's a lot of other things to look out for. So you know, the parents need to look out for and even like excess money, asking for money all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the initial stages, after a while, that's when the anger comes in. You know, if a child's whole attitude has changed, you know, we need to see that why. And most of the time, it's drug related.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sister Rihanna was just explaining, obviously, that aside from the detox program that will be carried out at the wellness center, you know, parents and caregivers need to understand the importance of aftercare, and that's where you are involved in, and Sister Nabila, who's going to speak to us just now about that as well as Sister Farzana. Being a facilitator of the aftercare facility for a long time, what is your advice to parents with regards to that aftercare? And also, how important is their support?
See, at the end of the day, sister, the thing is, you know, we encourage the parents as well as the recovering addict to come to the aftercare week in, week out.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's a never-ending story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have a misconception where they come for the first month, 2 months, 3 months, maybe the first 6 months. They feel, no, they had enough and their child is clean. Or the addict feels, no, I'm done now. You know, I know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with that, I have on a weekly basis maybe about 20 guys coming to the aftercare.
Mm-hmm.
And from the 20, I can say about 12 are regular guys that have been there for the past maybe 6, 7, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've been clean. And with stats, the guys that drop out of the aftercare, have relapsed or
yes.
slipped or, you know, have gone back to the drug.
Mm-hmm.
So the aftercare is vital, 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 very, very important. Basically, it reminds you week in, week out that where you've come from and what's your goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the aftercare, and like Mahalisburg, Rafik Mayat from Mahalisburg stresses to his guys that leaves Mahalisburg, that your aftercare is most important now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the parents' role in this is the parents need to be with the addict or with the support for as long as it takes.
Yes. And nothing says that the parents can't come for, support while their children are in the rehab facility or even in the outpatient facility. Parents can empower themselves there as well as community members.
Yes, you know, that's one of the rules now as well.
Mm-hmm.
That if your child has been gone into a rehabilitation facility, the time that he's there, the parent needs to come to us
yes.
or to a support group for that time to equip themselves for when he comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So at least
mm-hmm.
they know exactly what to do or they have some knowledge on drugs, because I think our parents don't have this kind of knowledge or supporters have this knowledge.
Yes. Yes, no, definitely. Sister Farzana, I was just going to ask you, you know, we're speaking about the aftercare support. And, you know, the one that Ahmed has been referring to, there's predominantly males at that aftercare support. What happens to the female patients that the wellness center will be seeing to? They'll be coming for their aftercare support to the wellness center. Will it be individual? Will it be group? How are you planning to work that in the program?
Generally, the aftercare support system is a group system
mm-hmm.
where they learn from each other.
Yes.
You know, what works for one person doesn't always work for the other. What works for one parent doesn't work. So everyone puts their experiences together.
Mm-hmm.
So aftercare it's better to be held in a group session. But what mm-hmm. we do offer is one-on-ones for anyone that needs it.
Okay.
If they had a challenging week and they don't want to speak about it in front of the group, we do offer one-on-ones.
Mm-hmm.
So the girls, I'm not sure if maybe they would want to join our Tuesday night group,
mm-hmm.
the parents maybe, the girls, mm-hmm. or we could offer them maybe a Saturday.
Yes, a separate one for the females.
A separate one for the females and for their support structure.
True. And let's face it, I mean, if there are certain girls that are in Farda but have had the problem, they obviously would want separate facilities.
Separate, yes.
Okay. The other thing that I would like, anyone could answer this, you know, the stigma related to drug addiction, is it still very much there? Is society, a bit more open that this is a reality? What are we going to do about it? Or is it still this local who cares syndrome and hiding it? Who would like to answer that? I mean, you're faced with this challenge daily. Some of you have been faced with it for years when it comes to your counseling experience. What would you like to tell the listeners?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Nabila.
So I feel with men, with males, it's much more easier for them to come out and speak about their difficulties and their drug addiction problems. With females, I think they suffer and they struggle a lot more with the stigma because of how families would deal with them, because of how the community looked down upon them, because of the fact that they are females.
Mm-hmm.
But another problem that we are facing with the females is because of the lack of support, they are willing to sell themselves to get the drug.
Mm.
That's a very big problem that we have.
It's all the funding, the addiction.
Yes.
That's very sad.
And it comes...
Please come in.
On the stigma side, for the girls, like Sister Nabila explained, for the boys as well, you know, basically it's not the recovering addict, it's more the parents.
Yes.
And you know, the stigma is there in our community, with the Indian community, and then I can go further and say with the Muslim community as well. You know? The parents are always, what is this one going to say? What is that one going to say? They basically sweep it under the carpet. And they're leaving it there. So what's going on, what's going to happen now is the addict is just going to get worse. Instead of getting better, he's getting worse. And then it comes to a stage where the parents cannot handle it anymore. And now the addiction is in a very, very, very fast state. And then they're asking for help. So, you know, the thing is, my plea and to the parents as well is that in the initial stages, if you feel your kid is on drugs or have a suspicion, come forward.
Yes.
Because at that stage, it's much, much, much easier to help them and to get them off the drug.
Most definitely. We're going to continue, inshallah, after the break. We have a lot more, to cover, inshallah. To our beloved listeners, please call us on 011-854-1548. If you have any questions for any of the members on the panel or for Brother Ahmed, please, call us and direct it to them. They are here to assist you, inshallah. And we will return shortly. Jazakallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on Youth Talk with me, BBI. Aisha Lahir, on Radio Islam International as well as simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. Today we're talking about the opening of a wellness facility in Lanesia for females by the Islamic Helpline Lanesia in conjunction with the Jamiatul Ulama of Lanesia. I believe we have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for the pertinent and very relevant program. Allah reward you for
that. Ameen. Barakallahu feekum. Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking to Shakir. If I may just introduce myself,
Please. I'm also
a presenter on Radio Islam, and I belong to an organization called the Deen Team, and our aftercare drug support group wing is called Rope of Hope. I just have two very quick contributions to make.
Please share.
The one is, before I make my contribution, I must acknowledge these volunteers who selflessly give time to the community and are assisting the recovering addicts. Allah reward you greatly.
Ameen.
You might not get applause, you might not get returns in this world, but definitely Allah is noting your sacrifice and Allah will reward you for that.
Ameen. And to yourself, as well, Shakir.
Ameen, Ya Rab. You mentioned aftercare, and I just came across something very important, where somebody asked for how long should I continue attending aftercare. And the response was, for as long as you want to stay clean. And then the second thing that came up was you discussed the reputation factor.
Yes.
And this is a major concern for many families where they feel that if you join a program, then the reputation of the addict would be tarnished or the reputation of the family would be tarnished. But I should mention to those families that are holding back on going for help that in today's...
Okay, we seem to have lost Brother Shakir. You're welcome. He will get... Call us back, please, inshallah. Very relevant points that he's brought up, that when it comes to aftercare, why the stigma? You know what baffles me to the panel, Brother Ahmed, you're listening as well. You know, if a person is diagnosed with cancer, they go for the therapy, they do the radiation or the chemotherapy or the counseling or whatever it is that they need. Or if a person has any other ailment, they go for the full therapy and they do it, whatever needs to be done. Why is it different when it comes to substance abuse? And also when it comes to substance abuse, you know, we often think, okay, drugs, we're thinking cocaine, heroin, crystal meth, and, you know, all of these drugs. What about the drugs that the youth get for free in their kitchens, in their bathrooms, in the mum or dad's drawers? I'm talking about prescription drugs. I mean, simple things that people have at home. cough syrup. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, we forget all about that. The addiction, slimming tablets, weed. You know, when it comes to weed, you know, when people say, but weed is not drugs, weed is nothing, I do it just for fun. Do they forget that that is a gateway drug? Am I correct?
We are having a major problem with weed because of the perception that people think it's not addictive. Because it's a natural substance, it's not addictive. But what most kids don't realize today is that most of the weed that they are buying is laced. So besides weed, yes, is addictive. And besides the weed, there are other substances in it as well, which are causing erratic behavior, mood swings. They're getting into fights very often at school. There's a whole lot of repercussions behind smoking weed, but yet they find that there's nothing wrong with smoking weed.
Yes. And often they'll say, after I do it once in a while with my friends, what's the big deal? That's often the most common response.
Gee, it is. But if you're smoking once a week and if you're smoking 8 times a week, you're still an addict.
Exactly. Okay, we have Shakir back with us. Gee, brother?
Sorry about that.
No, not a problem.
Let me just turn my radio down. Gee. So when it came to the reputation factor, I said that drugs doesn't discriminate. It affects every family from every community, from every faith background. So there's an important thing that came to my mind earlier this week when I was dealing with a particular family who were concerned about their reputation.
Mm-hmm.
I said to them something which I felt really played on my mind afterwards, and I feel this message should reach others as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is the important question you need to ask yourself: are you worried about saving, let's say for example the person's name is Muhammad, are you worried about saving Muhammad's reputation, or are you concerned about saving Muhammad? Because if you're concerned about saving his reputation, at what cost would that come? Would that come at the cost of saving Muhammad? And then we need to look at whether we need to prioritize or not, because the problem won't just disappear if you just fear for the reputation. So you need to ask yourself whether you want to save Muhammad or you want to save Muhammad's reputation.
That is true.
That's just my contribution. Jazakallah khair.
Yes. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah reward you for the good work that you do, inshallah.
Amen. Amen.
Jazakumallahu khairun. Please be insight. Call us. Please call us on 011-854-1548. You know, you never know that your journey and your recovery and you moving into society can be such an inspiration to so many other people. So if you have been through this journey, please do call us. Share with parents who are going through this journey right now. Share with someone who is an addict and give them hope. That's what it's all about. Am I right, the panel? Brother Ahmed, what is your advice? When I spoke about the drugs now, like we said, you know, when people are thinking drugs, they're thinking of the hard drugs. What about the ones like Sister Fazana spoke now about weed? What about cough syrup? What about swimming pills? What about the things that are found commonly at home? Elderly people taking, not just elderly people taking pain tablets, people taking sleeping pills. Addiction to this medication?
Yes, correct, sister. You know, we're having a major problem with that as well, you know, prescription tablets. The thing is with youth, once they own drugs, for that matter, you know, at home, the cabinets are full with these drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So they start using a certain prescription tablet, get hooked on it, and there we have a major problem as well. With the elderly as well, you know, the doctor will prescribe maybe stool pain, for example, and after a while, the guy keeps on using the drug, and then he becomes addicted to it. After that, the problem is that that prescription tablet is not doing anything to his body because he becomes immune to it. And then is where he goes on to harder drugs. Coming to weed, you know, we have a major, major problem with weed at the moment because today's weed is not the weed or the Daha or let's call it even 5 years back. We don't even have to go that far back, you know. Today's weed is all, what can I say, grown indoors. It's called indoor, you know. So a price of a packet of weed, or now they sell it in grams, is about 200 rand. You know, for a packet, a gram of weed. The thing is, a packet of crystal meth or cat or whatever it is, cost the same amount of money. So what is the difference? You see, the parents have this misconception when it comes to weed. They feel, no, it's just weed.
Yes.
The child is just being naughty. He's just smoking weed. The thing is, you know, with me in the past, I can say maybe 1 year, the youth from the age of about 12 to 18 I put into rehab for weed.
Yes.
Because it's a major, major problem. They can't come off it. It's not just the thing is where they just smoke and they and they leave it the next day. It's becoming an addiction. It's becoming a big huge problem.
Now, I was going to ask you something as well, brother. I just need to interrupt you there for a second. When you're saying weed also, we're not just talking about the use of weed amongst boys. I'm talking also about the use of weed amongst females. There's been an increase in that, yes, no?
Yes, correct. The thing is, you know, the amount of females that are using drugs for that matter, you know, is has become even more than males at the moment. That's why the need for a center.
For the wellness center, most definitely.
Correct. You know, we're having more calls to the nowadays on females than males.
Shocking reality.
Like you said, the gateway drug is weed. Because what happens is they start off with weed, and today's weed is so addictive that they can't come off it. Now, like I mentioned earlier on, once you're on some substance for a while, it becomes immune to the body.
Yes.
And after that, you need something higher. So then they go on to these designer drugs, cat, coke, crystal meth. And that's where we're having a major problem.
Jazakumallahu khairan for that, brother. Sister Rihanna, Sister Nabila, Sister Fazana, we're talking about, you know, simple medication. When I say simple, I'm saying this in inverted commas, that are found at home. Cough syrup, like we said, sleeping tablets, slimming tablets. Big issue with the females. They all want to look good. They don't realize that, you know what, beauty comes from within. That's my philosophy there. What are your thoughts? How many cases have you dealt with where that's what these girls are doing, or, you know, females are doing? Numb my pain. Let me just go and take a sleeping pill. I can't sleep. Let me just take a sleeping pill.
That part of it is that, Bibi Aisha, we have children coming in complaining about their parents. That means the mother. She may be in her 60s, 70s. She's been addicted to over-the-counter medication, painkillers, and it's gone so bad where they don't know how to control her, what to do, where to take her for help. And at that age, she's set in her ways. How are you going to get her to go to a rehabilitation center or for help?
Yes, no, most definitely. And I think we've become a society that, you know, there's a pill for everything.
Exactly. And then we find, you know, the young ladies taking ecstasy to lose weight.
Yeah.
You know, it may just be a norm that, no, I'm just taking it maybe for a week or two and I'll lose. But it's not that. Once you start that, you're already an addict. And your life doesn't stop there as well. You're starting getting involved with the wrong company.
Yes.
You're starting finding companions that's going to lead you into the evil, dark world. Yes. And then what about the wives that the husband is using? She wants to be acknowledged. She wants to be respected by him. She wants him to know, I'm here, you're ignoring me. So what does she do? She joins him to use it. And then we have a dysfunctional family. We have children sitting there that are being disregarded, that are neglected. And this is normal. This is a normal thing among society.
That's what's happening. Nabila, you give a lot of advice to the youth. I mean, you're like a youth counselor, an adolescent counselor. What are the girls telling you? What is going on there? Like when they come to causes of, okay, why are you taking drugs? I'm sure that's the first thing that you'll ask them. Why are you here? Why are you doing this? What do they say to you?
Okay, so when we look at the drugs, that may be the surface. But when we dig deeper into the reasons why they're using drugs, you'll find that a lot of the time with girls, they cyberbullying. In schools, on social media, it's all about being catish, I need to be the best, I need to be accepted. So cyberbullying is one very big reason. Another reason is domestic issues.
Okay.
Within the home, there are many issues today. The blended families are on the increase. Children are feeling neglected. Children don't feel like they mean anything to their parents. They don't belong anywhere. So those are also reasons and causes for them turning to drugs. And a lot of the times also it's boredom.
Yes.
Children don't have, they don't have proper hobbies, proper things to vent their energy in towards. So instead they want to experiment, curiosity.
Yes.
They turn to drugs.
Okay, and the response with your counseling, has it been positive? Has there been parental support? Are the girls have they been coming to you regularly? What's your feedback?
Okay, look, especially with drug counseling, if the client is not committed and if they don't want to be there, then it's a losing battle.
True.
So I always tell them that if you don't want to be here, please don't come. But if you want to be, and then with that approach, sometimes it does work. They won't come for 1 or 2 weeks, and then they'll realize the importance of being there because they want the help, and that's when you find the commitment.
Yeah, it's all about commitment, most definitely. What would be your advice to the youth? What do you want to say to them? I mean, you've dealt with so many teenagers already. I mean, hence the facility is opening now because the increase is there. What do you want to say to our listeners?
Okay, so the psychosocial issues out there are... There's a lot of psychosocial issues that impact on our lives today.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that I can say is we all have choices.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need to ask ourselves, which way do we want to go?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing. We need to make these choices and choose wisely what we want to commit ourselves to. Because like we need to commit ourselves to the program, once we get addicted, there's no going back.
No, it works definitely. Sister Fazana, your advice to our youth, what would you like to say to them?
I just want to add on to what Nabila has already said. We've seen a very, very big gang culture starting again amongst the youth. It's mainly amongst the young boys, but yes, there's lots of girls also involved in these gangs because they join the gangs for sort of protection. So gang life is generally the drug life. So this is where they're also getting hooked and they just don't have a way out. So you'll find that they get themselves into lots of other trouble besides drugs, stealing, stabbings, killings, all of that, that ends up being problematic with the law. So, yeah.
Try to be choose your friends wisely.
So you need to choose your friends wisely. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, people just make the wrong choices or they have no other way out. So that's their protection. That's their support system. But it's the wrong one that they choose.
Yes, definitely. Brother Ahmed, your advice to parents, you know, when, again, like we said, we want to get out of this what will people think of me syndrome. You know your child is going through something difficult. It's obviously affecting you, but then you want to hide it. Why? What is your advice to those parents that you know, have recently been told that your son or your daughter is an addict? What would you like to say to them?
You know, my advice to the parents is that, you know, there is help out there. You know, there's a lot of help out there. The thing is with today's drugs, the kid or the addict or the recovering as an addict as well cannot do it on their own. It's very, 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 very difficult, especially with the drugs that are there out there today. So there is help out there, and most of the time, I'll even say all the time, you know, we need to get help. And there is no stigma out there, because the thing is, if you're going to hold on to a stigma and say that it's going to affect my reputation, or the child will just come off it, or he's just being naughty, or whatever it is, it's just going to get worse.
Most definitely.
For the parents, as soon as you find a difference in your kid, please, please, please get some help for them.
Yes. Okay, Brother Ahmed Hassan, I just want you to please give your contact details. I'm going to ask the sisters here for their contact details shortly, but just to give your contact details to our listeners regarding the support group that you offer every once a week, please.
Okay, so we offer a support group every once a week at the Islamic Helpline on a Tuesday night. My contact details are
082-965-1931. Please repeat your details.
That's 082-965-1931.
Oh, Jazakumallahu khairan. Sister Rehana, please, if you could share with us, what is your advice to everyone that is listening there? How can the community assist this this project that you've started, you and your team, as well as with the Jamiat? How can the community get involved? And please, if you can share with us the contact details of this wellness center, as well as the address, please.
Okay, firstly, I'd like to say that if you know of anybody in your family, if your children, your partner, even if you suspect that you know there's something happening that you feel is abnormal, don't hesitate, don't sit on it, and don't doubt, and don't say that, you know what, it will come right. You know there is a help out there. You know, it may not work out immediately. The problem may not disappear immediately. It's hard work. But at the end of the day, if the family stands together and support each other and be positive, I believe that, you know, from our steps, the years that have gone by, and if some of the listeners are listening that had come to us, we've had results.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not sit on this information. Let's get help. And if you want information on the Udba Wellness Center, you can contact 076-254-1768 for a free consultation
an
appointment.
Please repeat the numbers.
It's 076-254-1768.
Mm-hmm. And the address of the facility?
It's 134 Hydrangea Avenue.
134 Hydrangea Avenue, inland, right?
Yeah.
Inland Asia. Okay, inshallah, Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you that is involved in this project for your time. Like Brother Shakir, when he called and he said, you know, first and foremost, you know, reward to you for doing this. I know that you're doing this voluntarily, but you know what, for the rewards that you'll get. Remember, the rewards are eternal. It's in this world and in the year after. Sister Nabila just wants to add on, please.
Okay. I think the one thing that we didn't cover is, at the moment, the depression in teenagers
is
on the increase.
Yes, yes.
So, with the depression, our parents need to be aware that when you notice extreme sadness in children, lack of interest in anything, they don't want to study, the lack of motivation, that's also on the increase, and that's also causing a lot of our drug problems today.
So the parents just need to take note of that. I think, would you agree, with everyone agree, that it all boils down to communication and observation.
And also,
know?
Bibi Aisha, 2018 is, you know, awareness year for the youth, the mental awareness for youth. So to work on their mental health is very important.
Yes.
So let's not ignore that and let's work together.
Inshallah, inshallah. I mean, again, may Allah reward you guys for the efforts that you are putting in. The work that you are doing will benefit you in this world and in the after, inshallah. And to our listeners, my appeal to you, to the parents, to whoever's listening in, to the youth, you're not alone. Allah is always with you. Never ever forget that. But there is help out there. No problem is too much of a problem. There's always somebody willing to listen. There's always somebody willing to help. And to our youth, like Sister Nabila said, you know, once you start, you know, onto this drug mission, and if you are in denial and if you are refusing help, then the only person that's hurting you is you yourself. Only you have the ability to make a difference in your life. It's all about choices. Please join us. Well, join me again next week, inshallah. Next week, I talk to a lady by the name of Linda Nell. She is the founder of Gifted Children South Africa. We will be discussing gifted children, what it means to be a gifted child, support for parents of gifted children, and inshallah, I look forward to your contributions. From myself and my engineer, Brother Ziyad, please remember us in your du'as, and jazakumallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.